Wi-Fi. Microphone. Eventually, we're going to have four more microphones inside this closet here. But you have to sing, because if you're on the other side of the screen and you are listening over radio, they think nobody's here. All right, that happened to me. Okay, sing aloud. All right, drink a lot of coffee, get sugar in your body. All right, here it is, number three. Father, we come to you, the only source of truth and love. And first, we are thankful for the strength of this long day that we have together. And Lord, as we close the day and we go into the Holy Scriptures, and that book that you said, blessed is the one who read it and hear it and do the things that are written therein. Father, how blessed we are that we can look two or three verses of the Scripture and revelation and receive the blessings of a mighty and powerful Jesus as we're going to see tonight. I'm so excited. I was telling Raquel, Lord, that I was in chapter 5 reading, and I'm so excited. This wonderful book of Revelation revealed Jesus not as a baby in Bethlehem, but as the King of Glory. Thank you, Father. May each one of us be encouraged, because we belong to that King of Glory who leads our life. Bless those who are in the way home because they have a long distance to go. And bless those who later on have to drive a long distance to their homes. Thank you, Father, for their dedication and their love for you. Bless us also as we praise your name with songs, old-fashioned songs that reveal that something happened in the life of these writers that they want to praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I see Thomas.
Ben.
5 to 8. 5 to 8. I know that you guys get together and have this in mind. You know, I can see the conspiracy over there, but there's nothing wrong with 5 to 8. All right, will you stand, please? 528 is for me. Have his song, they think we're really Americans, all right? Okay, we are.
Through the river, let us find.
right? We continue to praise the Lord with songs from our heart to Jesus, okay? And you tell me the number that they follow from the left side or the west side of the cathedral, all right? Okay, this is Brother Plica.
Number 13.
Number 13, all right? Beautiful. The song of praise to our Lord. Praise ye the Lord Almighty. Indeed, indeed. And we took him to a launch, and Greg showed all our technical secrets of how we broadcast for so cheap and so on. And I think his wife and him were paying attention, and they handed to me an envelope, and I thought it was the raise of, because, you know, I look into my first contract that we signed in 8 years ago. We're on the air for 8 years. We came on the air on the first Sunday 8 years ago in January. And it's still the same price. So thank God, $125 an hour is very cheap. In New York, imagine, it's $1,850 an hour in New York. In San Francisco, the same, $1,850 an hour. And how wonderful. They're very pleased with us. And they said, you know, we've been sleeping. We never raise your price. But they know better. We finish in time. And ladies and gentlemen, we got 15 more minutes for the cantata, so that Prio Char, Raquel told him. And so that day on April, the choir will sing the whole cantata in the morning, and Pastor will preach a full sermon, and we all go in radio live to 12:15 without charge. They're going to cheat the next guy to follow, but it's just so beautiful. And it's so wonderfully. That relationship with the radio station is just good. And now that Greg has shared with them some technical things that they can do, I think it's more. All right, another song. Yes. 206? Yes, 206, yes. I was even launching, I saw Brother Wayne with all his children. I wish I had a camera to see the beautiful picture of seeing Wayne with the children. That filled my heart that the father will do that to his children. And as I greet them and so on, the waitress came to me and said, I think you're a priest. They said, no, we all priests. They said, when you are in God, I'm a pastor. So, oh, you're a reverend. So I had to go to church. So will you give me your car? So I gave the car. After, you know, you go always to the same place. They see you praying. And see me greeting people as they eat. It's just so beautiful. The Lord is going to do mighty things in the near future, very near. I know that God is going to expand his kingdom. So, darling, this is a good song, The Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Thank you.
just going to say something for the people on the air. We have some emails addressed for you to, you have a prayer request, even for the church, until noon on Wednesday. Will be, you send it to secretary@bethelmorganhill.org. If you have any question, whether I preach or Brother Greg preach, you send an email at questions@bethelmorganhill.org. And if you have something for the pastor, you send the pastor at morganhill.org. Simple like that, and then we will address the issue with you. I want to say, and I want to read it perhaps next Sunday, Brother Greg has received a wonderful letter from Virginia because of his sermon. There are churches stand in the things of God and not standing in the nature of man. So people are listening in the evening and in the morning, and it's, as long as you're in the Word of God, the people of God responded. And that, what I like it is, it doesn't matter who the speaker is, if you just bring the Word of God, and that's what I like to be in this church. Anybody who stand here and bring the Word of God will bring blessing to us. Praise God. Now, Billy, yes, sir. Jesus loves me. All right, Michael, on the way. 479, and before they do it, I do for them. All right. Come in. All right, Michael. Okay. Come in. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Here comes the pastor's choirs, the faithful. That is good. All right, Tricia, that is good. All right, here we are. All right. Benny, come on, Benny. Are you coming, Benny? I have 25 cents here. All right. Okay. Here we are. Okay. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. All right.
Jesus.
Precious. All right. Another song from the left side. Okay. The right side are very active. Okay. I saw Michael. Oh, Michael, maybe 1479. All right. Anthony. 263. All right. 263. All right. This song describes the power of Christ in our life. All right? One more song before I go into the book of Revelation tonight. Another two or three verses. Three? 326. That makes 326. All right. Beautiful. Okay. we can enjoy the singing with the piano and the books here and the hymn books. Let's open our Bible tonight in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, where it's the basis of our studies as we start in January. We make a little interruption, but we continue in this book. Let's pray. Father, we're going to look upon your holy word and see what you have to say to us. Refresh our mind. Give us the blessing to see Jesus as the mighty King and the mighty Savior, the one who is no longer a babe in a manger and suffer under the pressures of men, but one who controls the universe according to his power. Thank you, Father, for what we're going to see tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just to refresh your mind, we're going to look in the book of Revelation, and we are doing an outline of content as we advance in this study. And this is how far we have been. In verse 1, the Bible says in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And so we saw that verse 1 describes four little things. Is verse 1 to 3 is like a preface to the entire book. And verse 1 said the book of Revelation belonged to a literary group called Revelation. That's what the word said, Revelation. It's not a novel, it's not a mystery, it's a revelation. And some people think that Revelation is a mystery, but it's not. The title of the book is Revelation. And if you read it with an open heart and with the Holy Spirit, you will see many things about the glorious Jesus, like the last song, more about Jesus. If you want to really read about Jesus, and this has been the trademark in Christianity for 2,000 years, they said, you read the Gospel of John. Have you heard that? Oh, when you give a Bible, you tell somebody to read the Gospel of John. Tell somebody to read the book of Revelation, and they will see Christ as big as can be, mighty and powerful. Now, the information source was God himself, which God gave, said verse 1. God was the center of information. And then we saw the information, as you see, was passed. In verse 4, they tell us that the information was passed. In verse 1, the information was passed to four people. God gave unto Christ, and to show his servant things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So we have God, we have Jesus, we have the angel, and we have the servant. That's it. That's how the information came through. And we know then that the writer is John without any mistake. Now, what is the purpose of this book? And I purposely think there is the end of history. Look at in verse 1. Is it surely come to pass? Surely come to pass. It's the end of history. The author is speaking, is God. And for him, remember, we found in Peter, 2 Peter 3:8, that one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so we cannot time God. Is that right? He's timeless. He lives about time. But he says, surely will come to pass, and is revealing. Now, you remember, in the book of Daniel, God told Daniel in chapter 12, you, Daniel, close the book. Because Daniel was getting really, what about this and what about the other? Daniel was a man of God, and he got a lot of revelation. But he said to Daniel, close the book. Now, no man is able to open that book. And so much that when we get to Revelation 5, you will find out that John is crying. John doesn't understand what he's writing. He's crying. And he said, God, who will understand it? He said, who is worthy to open the book? And then the next verse, verse 5, said, I am worthy to open the book. So that's what Revelation is, an open book. And some people think that they are the one who opened the book. Wrong. Revelation is the one, Jesus is the one who opened the book for us. Now in verse 2, we have the legal matter solved. We have four witnesses who bear record of the word of God and on the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that word is the legal part of the book, the legalization of the book. There were four witnesses, and the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and to overdo it, God had four witnesses about the events to come. And what I love in verse 3 is the key thought in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth. You may be confused, yes. You may be that you don't understand certain things in the book of Revelation. You may be said, I wonder what this means. It's possible, but you're going to be blessed. God will never leave you empty when you read the book of Revelation, and never leave you in a way that misleads you. A lot of people have different opinion of the book of Revelation. You know why? Because the interpretation, the method of interpretation. If you read Revelation and say the number 7 means that, the number 10 means that, and this word means that, very soon that becomes your code of interpretation. Yes, sir. You can go. Will you get a microphone there, Brother Mikey? All right. Yeah.
You can go broke buying books that give commentaries on Revelation. There's lots of them.
Yes, certainly.
Do you think that there is any more understanding of the book of Revelations for us today than there was if we had lived, say, 200 years ago? Do you think there's any more understanding? Do you think God has revealed the book to us any more than 200 years ago?
This is what I think. I think a history developed so fast in the last century that the book of Revelation became more clear to us today because the development of history. So the book of Revelation, remember, shortly come to pass. It's about history and the end of the world. And the Bible, for example, talks about that Christ will come when the last people will be saved. And we wonder how the last people will be saved. Well, we have emails from Italy, emails from the... God has developed technology to the point that his words invade everything. Certainly, it's not that God increased his revelation, but God increased his testimony so that we understand more about the book of Revelation. It's a danger and say, today God increased the revelation. No, he increased the knowledge. By watching what happened in the world in history, it's, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what Revelation is. 200 years ago, nobody dreamed on radio and communication, and to say that you live in Europe and you're going to be a witness in America was just something. Look at what happened with Whitfield and all of these great people of God. They came here ready to die. Actually, the missionary went to Argentina. He went there just to die. And today we communicate via computer back and forth in the same second. So there is... that danger to say God revealed more about Revelation. God revealed everything that needs to be revealed. What happened is we understand more today because of history. With that answer, a little bit understanding? That's good. If you have a question, you raise your hand because this is like a Sunday school class, all right? Now, the key thought is blessedness. And the key specification to be blessed, if you see in verse 3, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and he that hear the words of this prophecy, comma, and keep this word. You see the sequency? You read it or you hear it. Now, class, what do you think that means? God said, blessed is he who read it, blessed is he who hear it. What kind of reading was that? Aloud. Or somebody to hear it had to be read aloud, okay? And that's what it is, all right? So that's so far as we... learn on the book of Revelation. Then verses 4 to 8 is the covering letter of the book of Revelation. God do the preface, and then he put the covering letter. Remember when you send a fax, what do? You just not just send a fax, you send a covering letter, say from, to, and some specification that the person's going to read it. And so that's what it is. Now, in this covering letter, God has four announcements to make. In announcement number one, grace and peace is not just a theory. It's not just something that, you know, we study in theology. Grace and peace are yours. And let me read verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. So grace and peace are yours. It's yours. And there are three people that give you that grace. Remember, we studied that. And verse 4 said, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And I remember, and I receive a lot of emails about that, because people say seven spirits, I mean seven means fullness and this and this, and we don't fool around with that. We went to Isaiah 11:2, and we saw the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So grace are yours from God the Father, the one who is and will be, from the Holy Spirit, and verse 5, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And so the first announcement is, Church of God, may the grace of God and the peace of God, remember, this is yours. Now, Israel was an entirely different story. Jesus had to come. Do a favor for me. Somebody look in John 1, verse 17, and Jimmy will be ready to pass the microphone so that you read it for me. John 1 and verse 17, just so you understand how valuable is this, all right? Who has that? John 1, here is Anthony have it. John 1, verse 17, so that you understand what I mean, that now grace and peace is yours. Go ahead, brother.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
See that? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the law and the fullness of God's holiness came in that beauty. Of the law, but to have that grace to be pardoned, to have that grace to be accepted, came from the Savior. An institution cannot bestow grace, but the Savior can bestow grace. That's what we learn. Then the second announcement here in Revelation was this, that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. You saw that in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And the reason is, he has redeemed us. Okay, somebody get 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember these verses, because a lot of people try to do a lot of things in order to be redeemed, in order to be bought by God. But look at 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. And Jimmy will give you the microphone so the people on the air will be able to listen. Yes, here is your father. Go ahead.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
That's beautiful. Nothing of this world bought your salvation. In other words, we have made no contribution. You understand that? For our salvation. No contribution. It was just a gift of God to all of us. And when you receive it, it's yours. And it's yours forever. Then in this announcement, Jesus is faithful. Not only he has redeemed us, said, but look in verse 6. Go back to Revelation 1, verse 6. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. All right? So he exalted us. Now, let me do this. You look in your Bible in my reference that I put on the screen, Exodus 19:6. In the meantime, I say this to you. I hope it's clear. Can you see it from the back, the screen, or it's too small? Okay. Exodus 19:6. I want to say something, but you look over there, and Jimmy will be ready with a microphone. Now, the translation here in verse 6 is a little bit... will have a different meaning, but Exodus 19:6 will explain it to us. And have made us a kingdom, a priest, unto God. Now, Brother Cassandra, will you read that Exodus 19 and verse 6? So that that back up what I'm saying. The wrong book.
The long book.
Well, when an accountant is in the wrong book.
No, long, not wrong. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
Now listen carefully.
So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him.
Thank you, my brother. Now, here's what it is. God said to Israel, you will be a kingdom of priests. Now, was everybody in Israel a priest? No. Who was a priest in Israel? There were two kinds of priests. The one that you know more. Aaron was the first high priest, and the sons of Aaron and their sons and gone. And then we have Melchizedek, which is a spiritual kingdom. But let's take the natural kingdom. So every member of Israel's body was not a priest. And God said, I will make you a kingdom of priests. And they never were a kingdom of priests until Christ came. And so when Christ came, and tell you what a priest does. Let's say, yes, sir? A priest talk to God. And so if you are not clean, remember the tabernacle that had the place for everybody, the burnt offering, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Who was in the Holy of Holies? The high priest was the only one who can talk to God. And God is saying to the entire nation, you will be a kingdom of priests. Now, why we in Revelation then tell us that we are a kingdom of priests? Yes? We can speak to God. Who is sitting with God in the Holy of Holies? Jesus. And Jesus is?
Our high priest.
Look in Hebrews 4, please. Somebody, Hebrews 4, in case somebody says, are you sure? Hebrews 4, this is good class. Hebrews 4, verse 14. All right? In, I think it's verse 14 and 15 in Hebrews 4. Bill, do you have it? Okay, get Bill to read that for us. 14 and 15, brother.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Is that not beautiful? Now, you're in Hebrews 4. Go to Hebrews 1 now. In Hebrews 1, and read me verse 1 and 2, please. And now, because you have to be in the Holy of Holies to intercede. Look at where Jesus is. Hebrews 1, three times the Bible said this. Hebrews 1, 1.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
Verse 3 now.
Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Remember when Jesus was on earth, that the mother of John said to Jesus, I make you another enchilada, but I want my son to sit on the right side in the throne. And remember what Jesus said? This is not for you to decide it. The Father will decide. Remember, it's by John 12 or something like that. So then, now, here we have Jesus is a high priest. And I'm trying to explain to the Catholic people that we have a priesthood. They say, well, you don't have a priesthood. We have a priesthood. And we have a permanent high priest, a pope, they call it. We have a permanent high priest. He's not going to die anymore. He's at the right hand of the Father. And we all now are priests, a kingdom of priests, which Israel cannot be, because they have not a permanent person in the Holy of Holies. This is very deep. Did that make sense, Russ, what I'm saying? Okay. Because I want you to understand it, because it's just fantastic. You know, in Revelation, just say it like nothing happened. But when you look into that, you see the greatness who we are today in view of what Jesus is. Now, here's a lesson for today. Verse 7 and verse 8. Announcement number 3. In this covering letter, Jesus said, grace be unto you. Christ is the faithful. And then announcement number 3 is Christ is coming again. Now, verse 7, look at what happened. He said, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. You see that? All right. Now, there was a question about that in Acts 1:11. So somebody get Acts, book of Acts 1:11 for me, and Jimmy will reach you the phone number, the microphone. All right, Acts 1:11. Shelley, you got it? All right. No. Okay. Somebody. So Acts 1:11. Okay. And no, she doesn't have it. Okay. Brother Greg, read it for us, Greg.
Who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into the heaven will come in the way you have seen him going into the heaven.
All right. Now, here is the great question. The disciples were gathered together. They are so excited. Jesus resurrected. He looks like Jesus. He talked like Jesus. He eat like Jesus. And he is sharing with them. And suddenly, a cloud, said verse 10, came from heaven. He's taken up in the cloud. And now what do we do? And then the angel had to come and say, don't worry about it, because in the same way that goes up, in the same way is coming down. Now, when he came down the first time, everybody saw him. Okay, this is the second point. Jesus will be visible. Remember, and everybody said Revelation. If you go to Revelation 1:7, said, "Behold, he cometh," and we saw that the angels said in Acts 1:11, "He's coming," and every eye shall see him. What a difference between Revelation and the first time. Did somebody get Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2? We talk about the deepness of this today. Prior to the Sunday school, on the prayer time with the teacher, it became a theological sharing. And sometimes it's so beautiful that your heart just move up when Russ bring things and the other teachers bring things over there. All right. I had Devin over there, Jimmy, for Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2.
Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have
darling,
seen."
Darling, will you read me verse 1 and 2? I should say 2, but read me verse 1 and 2.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
The first time he came, people said, "Where is he?" Nobody knew. The second time, according to Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see. Now, people try by engineering description of his arrival and geometry to find out if the world is all round and in an elliptical form, they tell me, and you're an engineer. And he comes to Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires is the opposite city to Tokyo. And if he's come to Buenos Aires, how are we going to see it? Well, you will see my theories that I have on this, because the world will not be in the same way it is. There are passages where it said the world will be flat. And so the thing is this. The Bible doesn't say, and the Jews said Jesus coming to Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say he's coming to Jerusalem. So it's coming again. It's coming again, all right? And we're going to see it later on. But everybody will see it. That's a puzzle. Because if you come to Tokyo, people in Buenos Aires, Argentina, will not see it, technically. But the Bible said they will see it. So there's a lot of puzzles in the book of Revelation. But one thing I know, on the first visit, just few people saw it. And they said, "Where is he?" Now, when he comes the second time, nobody is going to say, "Where is he?" So if you're not saved, let me tell you this. If you have no Jesus in your heart and have received him as your Savior, when he's coming, it will be too late, and he will see you. That's very, very, very important. Now, verse 7 also, Jesus will be recognized as king. That's a very, very, very important. In verse 7, I said, that, "Behold, he cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen." In other words, there will be an spectacular draw to him and reverence. And somebody look in Philippians chapter 2. Here is where Paul says, verses 9 to 11, describing the arrival of Christ in the future. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Does anybody have it? I think Russell is looking into that. You got it, Russell? Okay, will you pass the microphone to Russell so that he can do that for us.
"Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things of heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Thank you. So that's not now. Because there are people who are not confessing Jesus as Lord. But that's at his coming. This verse in Philippians is projecting here to Revelation 7, where the Bible said all kindreds of the earth shall wail. In other words, they will be in extreme reverence to him. They will be forced to do that. Then, so announcement number three is Christ is coming again. So remember, this revelation becomes like a letter to the church to inform the events of history that surely will come to pass. And after the preface, then he has a covering letter who announces that you are the proprietor of grace in your life, and that Jesus is the faithful witness. Later on, you will see that his name in chapter 19, his name is faithful witness. And then Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. So when I shared that with people, they said, well, 2,000 years has passed. Have you been experienced this, that you said to people, well, we hope that Christ is coming again. Well, 2,000 years, where is he? Well, he's closer today than 2,000 years ago. All right? And now, finally, the fourth announcement is this. Christ is God. Now, you people study Revelation, John. Now, tell me, I want to test your classes in your study. Where in John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, said that Christ is God? What verse? Chapter 1, verse 1. We're all, verse 1 alone cannot say it. That thing in verse 1 had to become really a revelation. Verse 14. So now look at here, verse 8. Verse 8. And you will have it three times this in Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. And they said, the Almighty. So Christ is God. Now that offends the Jewish people and will offend me if I am not a believer. So let's look for a moment. He is the beginning and ending of all there is. What do you think? In other words, there is nothing in this world that will be surprising Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you how peaceful is this for me. We send one tiny little robot to Mars, okay? Land successfully. And those people, hearts and mind, the engineers, are really now really thinking we're going to know more about ourselves, about the universe, and all of this. All right? Now, some people ask me, and now what? Now what? Jesus is the beginning and the ending. So, Jesus has not come yet, so there is more things to discover. When Jesus comes, that's the ending. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter. It's like A, Z. But Z is on the half of the alphabet. Vector. But here's what it is. Omega, which is the second O in the alphabet of the Greek language. Omega is the very end. And Jesus is the very end. So I tell people, don't be surprised if tomorrow they land in some other planet, in another planet. They will discover things and things until he comes, because he is the end. The end of the revelation is Jesus. So I said to him, the people who talk to me like that, I said, have you discovered Jesus? No. So, well, you have not discovered the end then. See, the end is not a planet. The end is not water and a shadow. The end is Jesus Christ. See, he's the beginning and the end. And then he is eternal and unchangeable. Look in verse 8 again. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. He's unchangeable. Does somebody look for Hebrew 13 and verse 8 for me? And Jimmy, you wherever you are, be ready. Hebrew 13 and verse 8. He is unchangeable. He's always the same. He was, he is, he will be. There is no changes about Jesus. And so that's a good letter 2,000 years ago to the church of God. All right, Joby, you have it? Okay, go ahead.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Okay, now Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And here is which is and which was and which is to come. Nothing has changed. Discoveries come and discovering go. Things are in and things are out. But nothing has changed. Jesus is Jesus. And I keep telling people, you can discover marvelous things of this great universe. And God has given us a bright mind today, better than before. Because remember, the Bible says that on the later days will be greater discoveries. A man will discover the amazing world. But if that's what all you discover, you're still empty. You have to discover the very essence, which is Jesus. And then he is the Almighty. He is the Almighty God. All right? And I want to read again. Somebody look in Hebrews 1:1-3, because there you see the maximum power and expression of Jesus. Does somebody have it again? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1-3. All right, Brother Jack, you have it? Okay, give it to Brother Jack. They will read it for us.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
All right, thank you, my brother. Now notice, it's spoken on the last day. We are living on the last days, plural. Now the Bible used two expressions. Last day, that's one thing, the very last day, and last days is the sequence of days that will describe the end of time. We are living on the last days. See, there is no one scripture pointing to the last day that you calculated and you know. Impossible. The last days, yes. We are living on the last day, the scripture said. After the cross. You know why? Let me ask you, class, before I go into some form for the next class. Why the scripture tell us we are living in the last days, plural? Well, the cross came in, Jesus died, he resurrected, and after the resurrection, Acts chapter 2 comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, dwells the believers, and this is the beginning, day one of the last days. Let me ask you this. Is any other revelation from God that we expected other than Jesus? No, that's what is the last days. Jesus is the last revelation of God. Now, in Israel, there were many revelations. But Jesus is the last revelation. They were expecting, what is the next priest? What is the next high priest? What is the next king? There were a lot of things to come. But in Christianity, we don't expect any news except the coming of the Lord. No other. So, what Christianity does, some Christian denominations, they make a man a high priest. And so this die, the next one, and the next one, and the next one. No, we are not in that era. We are in the era that the high priest is sitting in heaven. And he will never die. He will come. And so what a blessing to know that he is the God, the Almighty. So four things in the covering letter. He said, you are the appropriators of grace and truth. You have Jesus who is faithful. And he's coming again, and he is God. In the next class, we're going to see the message of Christ to the churches. That will be verse 9 all the way to chapter 3, verse 22. And you can read verse 9 to the end, to verse 20. I maybe covered three verses for you. All right? And I want you to do this. In your home, you read verse 9 and 10 and write in a little 3x5 card what kind of picture the Bible tells us about Jesus now. All right? Dr. Schaefer from Library, who taught me in theology, he will say, okay, take the 3x5 card, and after you speak for 3 hours, write two sentences that describe what I said. He will repeat himself all the time. And so I want to say, class, read verse 9 and 10 100 times and write down what is the update picture of Christ. Now, let's review a little bit. What is the update picture of Christ when he was born? He was born humble, like a human, limited, like a human being, even though he did miracles, they overruled. But he was not, certainly you saw the carpenter and and his father, the carpenter, and you never think that he is God. As a matter of fact, you remember when the people said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph the carpenter? In other words, he never impressed anybody with anything. Now the Bible gives us an update picture of Jesus. You do your homework, I do mine, and we will see how beautiful that match. Is any questions, any difficulty? Do I confuse you in any form or fashion? All right? I hope not. I just want to point to Christ, okay? Father, thank you. Thank you that tonight we saw Christ again. We don't see a humble little baby. We see the glorious King who bestow upon us the ability to be priests. And that's, Lord, why we come and pray. That's why we send a prayer list to the homes of our people so that they can pray, because they have the right to pray as priests before you. Lord, Israel dreamed to be priests before you, and only they have few men, but we are your priests. Lord, how we love you, and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.